Good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome to this Palm Sunday. What an exciting day it is. And if you will notice, this is the first Sunday of the month, which is always our Youth Sunday. So you've seen some young people helping in different ministries. And for all of our young people, if you have your eyes on me for a minute, all of our young people, we do not want to leave you out. So if no one asks you to do a ministry, but you want to do a ministry, it's your job to go tell somebody, okay? We don't want to just complain that, oh, nobody ever asks me. If you want to be involved, we would love to have you be involved. So make sure you go talk to that ministry leader. If you're like, I really, really want to do that computer back there, then go talk to the computer people. They would love to get you in the rotation. So we believe young people have gifts and talents from God, and we want to help them learn where they fit in the body of Christ. So that is the purpose of Youth Sunday. And this morning I have Emma helping me with announcements.
Save the day. We will be praying over all graduates on the first Sunday in May during service.
And then also, in case you forgot, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. So we have a lot going on next Sunday as well. We're starting with a sunrise service at 7 a.m. for anyone who wants to come out. And that will be, we'll be taking communion, we'll be doing some liturgy. So it'll be a very different, kind of more somber service, but you're welcome to join us. We'd love to have you. And then we'll be doing a breakfast afterwards that you're welcome to stay and partake of. And then at 10 a.m., we will still have a worship service. So those are definitely two separate services. So you can come to one or the other or both. I'll be here for both. Come and join me. And that's the 7 a.m. for the sunrise and 10 a.m. for worship. And then for all of you ladies, our state organization has asked that we do Easter hats. So if you want to participate, you can wear an Easter bonnet, and we will take a picture at the end of service and just send that into the district for them to see everybody supporting and wearing their Easter bonnets on Easter Sunday.
We will be receiving a special offering for the parking lot at the end of worship today.
All right, and then you may have seen on the window back there, we are advertising a spaghetti fundraiser dinner, and that is for Wyandotte Cares. Wyandotte Cares is an organization that goes into the public school system, and any child whose parent gives them permission, once a week they take them out of the school system, they take them to a church, and for about 30 to 40 minutes they teach them a lesson from the Bible. So it's very powerful ministry. I'm fortunate that we live in a country that allows us to do that. So if you want to support that program, go buy some spaghetti dinners that day. All of the details are on the flyer on the window, and that will take place April 14th.
Teen pastors are asking all parents to meet next Sunday after church and if your student is going to National Talent Expo.
Okay, lots of stuff going on. So I want to remind you, too, we do have a website if you want to go check out some stuff on the website if you forget. But the other thing we have coming up is an adult game night, fellowship night, and that is going to be hosted by Gary and Melissa Liebs. They are offering their house in Findlay, so wave your hands at us wherever you guys are, Gary and Melissa, right here. So if you need to know where they live, come talk to them. They'll give you their address, but do not come and toilet paper them later. This is just for the game night. So they love to have you. They're going to have lots of snacks and some fun fellowship and games. That's for any adults that would like to participate. And that is taking place on Saturday, April 29th at 6 p.m.
The teens are doing a human video today. In live stream, it will be cut out due to copyright laws. But the live stream will resume after the video.
Okay, so that announcement is not for you in the building, but that announcement is really just for people watching online. During the video, it will go black, and you won't hear any sound during the video because otherwise YouTube will shut us down. We can't do video of songs that we don't have copyright to. So it will resume. So if you want to stick online for a few minutes, it will come back, and you can still hear the preaching of the word after that video is done. All right, and then the last thing we have today, I know there's a lot, but we want to acknowledge all of our young people who participated in Talent Expo. That happens every year, and we have a lot of talented kids, not just here, but across the state and across our district. That is nationwide that the Pentecostal Church of God does this. So we do want to recognize, I'm just going to go through and list some of the people who participated and what place they got at the state level. And then at the end, we'll have you all stand. So just hold your applause to the end. For female vocal solo, we had Emma Turner getting third place, Linnea Barnes got second place, and Peyton Malone got first place. If you hold your applause, we had vocal ensemble. We had the Let It Rain teen group got second place, and the Be All Right teen group got first place. Those were both from here at the Lighthouse. And then in the human video that you guys are going to see today for the teens, they got second place at the state level. And then looking through all my list here. Short story, Tori Malone got first place in the teen for writing a short story. And the art projects and short stories on the back table, so if you want to check those out today, and you can see what they were able to do for that. And then we had female vocal solo for kids. We had Liza Bianchi with third place, and Paisley Ludwig got second place in that. For male vocal solo for kids, we had Christian Malone got third place, and Lucas Malone got first place in that. Vocal ensemble, we had Liza and Avery got third place. The Lighthouse Boys, which I think you're going to hear them today as well, got first place in that category. And then, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anybody here. Human video for the kids. Thank you, Emma, because I almost missed that one. I didn't realize that was from our church. Prayer Warriors got second place in that human video. And dimensional art for the kids. Berkeley Ludwig got first place. And I think that is it. So if you participate in Talent Expo, all you kids, whether I said your name or not, go ahead and stand up. If you are a kid who participated in Talent Expo in any way, shape, or form, did an art or a craft or sang a song or did a human video, yes, let's give them a hand. It's not always easy to get up in front of people, and they're willing to do it, and they're willing to do it for the Lord, which is even better. And then the last thing I wanted to say for Talent Expo is we also had a concession stand. So anyone who helped with the concession stand, if you would stand and let us just thank you. We raised over $1,400 that day. It was a long, busy day, but it was a good day, a lot of fun. And several of our kids and teens are going on to nationals, which this year is in Tennessee in June. So we're very excited about that. And at this time, Brother Jesse is coming with our scripture for the morning.
Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here today. It's kind of weird not having a podium to hide behind. A little nerve-wracking, but that's okay. I want to say God is moving in the church. God is moving in the church when we're in this building, but more importantly, God is moving in the church when we're outside of this building. And we need to be like the church in the Old Testament, which became the New Testament, where they were adding daily. They were adding daily. And I said something on Wednesday night Bible study. I think it was Wednesday night Bible study. But if we found one person this year that we felt God led us to disciple, to reach them and teach them and know that we've instilled enough of God's word in them that they will go out and do the same, that's the goal. Amen? It's been stirring in me. I just want to say that. And I have a scripture I want to read. It's found in Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. And it says this, "The Lord is our light and protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right." So when it's dark, what do you need? We need a light, right? His word is a light unto our feet. So when we follow his word, we have direction and we have protection. His word is our moral compass and gives us direction for our lives. So if you're wondering where God's directing you, put your face in his word. Read his word, because he has direction for us in his word. And then when we follow his word, we are protected from the curse that is in this world. When we follow his word, we allow his hand of blessing and protection to be over us. Amen? So follow the word of God. So I want to encourage you today to give God praise for his word, because he is worthy of everything we can give him. Amen? Amen. So if you would stand with me, I'd like to pray before we bring tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercies, Lord, and we just pray that you have blessed these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are God. up. That's what the word exalt means, to lift up. Lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you up. We put your name, we put you above everything else, God, in our lives. We exalt you this morning. We give you praise this morning. We worship you this morning, for you are a great God. Your love and your mercies endure forever and ever. Your loving kindness is better than life. And so therefore our lips give you praise. We give you praise from our mouths this day, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of all glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, they announced to you this morning that we were going to be taking up an offering. We have contracted to get our parking lot expanded here, get this hole filled in, and we'll be parking all closer. We'll rearrange that. And we want to just take up an offering. And this is part of your praise and your worship. I want you to understand that. Sometimes we move to this part of a worship service and people think, oh, okay, we're doing, you know, no, this is part of your giving is part of your praise, part of your worship. And so if you've brought an offering prepared this morning, I want you to get it ready. And I want you to just think of it this way. We don't mandate anybody to give. Please understand that. We never have. We never will. This is a free will offering. I guess the old timers used to call it that, the free will. It's of your own will that you want to give. But if you have brought something to give this morning, I want you to give it in thanksgiving. Give it in thanksgiving to the fact that, you know what, God, I thank you that you've blessed me enough financially that I have an abundance. And from my abundance, I can give towards your work to see your kingdom continue, right? That's what we're doing here. And we're trying to make it easier for people to park closer, safer, so that way there's not a big hole in the ground that people can fall into, right? And so that's what these offerings are all about. You understand? It's from the abundance, the excess that God has given us, we can give back to him, and we can give him praise and thanksgiving for that. If you'd bow your head with me, I want to pray over this offering. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. And some of us may have money we can give today, and we may not have money we can give today. But God, you blessed us today with life, with breath in our lungs. And so we for sure give you praise right now, because we thank you for the life you've given us, and we thank you for the joy and the peace and the love that you've given us through your son, Jesus Christ. God, as we give monetarily, Lord, we also give a thanksgiving and a praise to you that you have blessed us, you've blessed this nation, you've blessed this church, you've blessed these people, Lord. We give you thanks for that, God, and I thank you that you are providing the finances. You already have provided the finances because you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and you're providing the finances to continue to work here at the Lighthouse, and we thank you for that, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Won't you come and give? And as you do, these boys are going to sing a song for us and lead us in praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise the Lion of Judah this morning. I said we praise the Lion of Judah this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, can you tell it's Palm Sunday? We got people excited to worship Jesus. You're all ready to do this human video, but you got a minute. So if you guys want to sit down, or you can stand there if you want. We're going to do this morning too. But it is Youth Sunday. And do you have that microphone? Oh, they put it up here, didn't they? Brother Zayden's going to come and share a testimony. He's going to do his part on Youth Sunday this morning. So I want you to come up here, man. I want you to give him a hand as he comes. Now, folks, this is how you know I'm saved. I want you to turn and face everybody this morning. This is how you know I'm saved. Because I am letting some gentleman with a mohawk shirt. I got to give him a hard time because I'm a Cary boy. If you didn't know, that's a rivalry around here. But I'm proud of him. I'm proud of all of our young people. Amen. They've been doing a great work, and he's just going to come share a testimony. I'm trying to just lighten the mood so you don't get so nervous.
All right. Hi, my name's Zayden, for those who don't know me. I've been going here for a really long time. Basically, I'll give you a short recap. My whole life, it's been spoke over me that God's given me just like an incredible athletic ability, and I've been trying to run with it as much as possible, and recently, the last couple of years, I've been really successful in pole vault, and God's been leading my way, leading my steps, and a cool thing about it is he's given me the exposure, so like I'll go to places and people will, they'll see me and be like, hey, you're Zayden, and I'm like, yeah, they're like, you're the pole vaulter. And it's good to be known as a pole vaulter, but I also like to be known as a Christian, you know? And so with, like, my actions and report, like, when I do reports and stuff, I always include God in everything that I do because, I mean, obviously that's, like, the number one most important thing. And so basically I'm committed to the University of Houston for track and field, so I know she spoke on it a little bit last week, but God really spoke to me when I went there, and it just felt different, and I'm kind of losing my words. Basically, me and my mom, when we were deciding on a college, we were praying and really just like getting into the word and thinking like, hey, where does God want me to go? Not necessarily where do I have to go or where do I want to go? What's the most important spot for me to go off and teach and learn? So a cool thing about it is this is like the number one seal, like this sealed the deal. Like me and my mom knew that this is meant to be. My house to here is 25 minutes exactly, and Pastor Rick's church from my dorm in Houston, Texas, is 25 minutes exactly. So it's like to the T. So it's definitely, God has been amazing to me, and I've been walking in his steps and trying to do everything that I can, and I just give him all the praise for it because I know that without him, I would not be anywhere I am today. Without him, so I just want to give the glory to him and encourage you guys to keep pressing in and just keep praying. So
yes, amen, amen, amen. And if you're not aware of Pastor Rick what he's talking about. Pastor Rick is a friend of ours that has actually came to the Ohio District several years and preached our teen youth camp. So Zayden already knows him very well, has been in services with him. Pastor Rick pastors a church in Houston that's 25 minutes from his dorm where he's going to be going to school. That's just cool how God works, puts those things together, gives us peace about things. And we found that out after the fact of where he, when he made his decision that this is where I need to go, this is where I feel like God's leading me. We found that out after the fact. And isn't it cool how God just works those things out? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Zayden, for sharing that testimony with us this morning. I want to go, and before we do this human video, because it has a lot to do with what I'm preaching this morning, I want to kind of begin to move into the message a little bit, but I want to give God some praise and go before the Lord in prayer. And sometimes when we pray, we only think of the vein of asking. And so we think we're praying because we've asked the Lord to do this for us, to do that for us. We want him to move in this person we're praying for and that person. That is, don't get me wrong, that is an aspect of prayer. But how many know that prayer should always begin with a praise? That we begin to give God praise and glory and honor. And just so you know, what that does for you is it begins to build your faith. Because it reminds you of who God is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. And then you know that he's going to answer the prayer. Amen? Now, I don't know if you have it with you. I brought mine with me today. But your Reach One, Teach One cards. I want to go before the Lord and pray over these. But before we do that, I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you. And that's why I have this up here. And I really felt like the Lord laid this on my heart. We're going to go back into this after they do their human video. And I'm going to try to go quickly here. That way we have plenty of time to elaborate on it later. But Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40 say this. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." At the coming of Jesus Christ, the whole earth shakes. Amen? At the coming of our Lord, there's a sound that comes forth out of the earth. And it wasn't because Jesus preempted his disciples. It wasn't like he planned it and said, "Now listen, as I come down the Mount of Olives, I want you guys to start making a lot of noise and cheering." No. He just began to ride the donkey down, and because his disciples began to see what God was doing, they couldn't help but within themselves, out came a praise. Hallelujah. How many have ever been there before? Man, you just start thinking about how good God is. You start thinking about what God's done for you. And all of a sudden, a hallelujah wells up inside it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I have been to churches that's not their custom. And I have heard the word of God read. Now listen to me. They're just reading Scripture. And I'm thinking about the Scripture as they're reading it, and all of a sudden I feel it start welling up inside of me. And then thank God for wisdom, right? Because I was ready to go, hallelujah. And then I looked around and I went, "Ooh, that might not be accepted here." They might think, "What is that guy's problem?" But you know what I'm talking about. It just comes up from your belly, from the depths of your soul. And there's a praise, and that's what began to take place in the hearts of these people. We're here celebrating Palm Sunday today. And so we're going to go into prayer, but we're going to use Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. That is the whole chapter, just so you know. So those of you who like to keep track of chapters, if you read it with me, you'll get a chapter in today. all right? But we're going to read this as a prayer of praise unto God. And then because we're praising God for who he is and how great he is, then we're going to begin to thank him for that person or persons that's on our reach and teach card. That we don't have to do the work. Jesus has already done the work. And when we put our faith in him, we will see God move. Amen? So this is what the Bible says. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. I'll read it again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? We should make a joyful noise. Now, I got to stop because I'll start preaching. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That means he's watching over us. We're in his hand. Why don't you thank him that he's got you in his hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen to verse 4. Because some of you came into church this morning and gave announcements. And you sound like this when you're giving announcements. Emma Turner. Yeah, we got this going on and that going on. And yeah, come and join us. I thought to myself, man, I don't want to go where she's announcing that. Now, how many have ever been there before? I'm just picking on my daughter this morning. I can do that since I'm her daddy. But I have been like that before. I come into church, right? I'm tired. It's early in the morning for me. But what does verse 4 say? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Now listen, we should do that on Sundays. We should do that on Wednesdays. We should do that when we gather together here. But we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when we get up in the morning and when we do half of that sit-up we do, right? We raise out of bed like this. That's half of our one sit-up we do a day. And we put our feet on the floor. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Thank you, God, for another day. I give you praise for breath in my lungs that I get to glorify and honor you. Hallelujah. That's what we should be doing. Then it says this, give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, this is what I want to do. If you got a palm this morning, I know they were passing them out. I want you to get your palm. If you don't have a palm, that's okay. You can use this palm. All right? And we're going to do what's called a wave offering. Now, I know sometimes some of you are like, this feels silly. Good. Have you ever just got beside yourself playing with your family, doing stuff with your family at home, and you let down your hair, so to speak? I can't do that, but you guys can. And just have fun, right? You know that we're in the Father's house this morning. We can have fun before him. So this is what we're going to do, a wave offering. Now, what the wave offering meant was this. It was a praise of thanksgiving that God had provided for them. They would take loaves of bread and they would break them and they would wave them back and forth like this in the temple as an offering of praise, of thanksgiving for what God had done. So this is what we're going to do. First of all, we're doing this in memory of the fact. Oh, you're going to give me one. Thank you. We're going to do this in memory of the fact that this is Palm Sunday. We're celebrating Christ's triumphant entry. But we're going to take it a step further than that. We're going to thank God that he has provided for the people that we have written down for this year. That we're just the vessel he's using to reach them. Whether it's through prayer, whether it's God giving us something to say to them, We're just the vessel, but it's God that's reaching them. It's God that's teaching them. Amen? So come on, get your palms up. Let's just begin to give a wave offering. Father, we thank you right now. Oh, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. For you are our champion. You are our victor. You rode in that day and you took Jerusalem by storm, not to rule the city, but to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we give you praise for it right now. We give you thanks for provision in our lives, Lord. And God, you see these names that we've written down on these cards, these names that you have put on our heart, a burden for them to be saved, to be changed, to be transformed. And we give a wave offering to you right now of thanksgiving, God, that you're reaching their hearts. You're transforming their lives, Lord, and you're teaching them about your glory and your grace and your mercies. We give you thanks right now, Lord. We thank you for souls being saved. We thank you for laborers going forth to reap the harvest. We thank you, God, for the prodigals that are returning. Oh, we give you thanks for it right now, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for 10% of our city joining themselves to build the kingdom of God with us, Lord. We thank you right now for the Hispanic church plant reaching a people who have no place to worship. We thank you that you're lining everything up. You're ordering the steps right now. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you this wave off, knowing that you have already supplied all the need. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, lift your voice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Worship him and praise him. Hallelujah! 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 We worship you, Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We serve a good God. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate him today. We're not done. And I want them to start getting ready, get in your places, young people, to share this. Now, this is not just some cutesy little thing. This is anointed. And it's going to touch your life, so pay attention. But I want to remind you what we've been preaching on. That's the six basic doctrines found in Hebrews chapter 6. Some of you young people haven't been in here, so listen to this. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation. Here's the six doctrines: the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. We talked about that last week. And of the instruction about washings or of on baptisms, we've already preached about that. The laying on of hands, we've preached about that. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And as you watch this morning, I want you to know that we're going to be preaching on the thought eternal judgment. That connects so closely to Palm Sunday. If you don't know that, you have to understand that. And I'm going to bring that connection together for you today. But I want you to watch this, and I want you to let God minister to your hearts this morning.
Stood in heaven's court to seek eternal favor, would you face Jesus Christ as judge, or would you face him as your savior? There are many who don't quite know for sure what that verdict would be, if ever. So let's imagine for a moment you're standing dead center in the courtroom of forever. sitting before you is a structure, massive and intense. It's here your fate will be determined, before this judge's bench. Then a voice booms, "This court's now in session," and your adrenaline starts to rush. Peering down with eyes that see through your soul is God the Father, your judge. Then off to your left across the room is the virtual silhouette of sin. Stepping out of the shadows of condemnation, your worst nightmare walks in. On his face is the smirk of evil incarnate, his mind fixed on your destruction in hell. You've just been introduced to your prosecuting attorney, none other than Satan himself. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, so guess what he's going to do. He's going to accuse you of your sins, and he knows them all, both the old ones and the new. He's prepared his case for years. Now the golden moment is his. So in arrogance, he presents his case to the judge, and it comes out sounding something like this. Worthless piece of trash over here. This one's a sinner to the core. This one's committed adultery, cursed his neighbor, stolen money, been into drugs, alcohol, and even more. This hopeless wretch has even slandered friends. And by that guilty face, this whole courtroom can tell that to a moral certainty and beyond any reasonable doubt, this one deserves eternal judgment in hell. The words of accusation still echo. Your every sin thrown up in your face. And God opens the book where every deed is recorded and reviews your records of disgrace. God says, the book says you did this, this, and this, and everything you were accused of today. Now before I sentence you to hell forever, are there any last words you have to say? Now if it's true you're standing there in the courtroom of eternity, with God to your front and Satan, the prosecutor, to your left, there's one remaining eternal truth, one that's crucial to remember, one you should never, ever, ever forget. Then, on the other side of the courtroom, I said, on the other side of the courtroom, you ain't hearing me tonight. I said, on the other side of the courtroom, the one and only Son of God, revealed in time and space. And he's your defense attorney who has never lost a case. It's not Buddha, Muhammad, or Krishna, or any others who succumbed to death. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of the courtroom is Jesus Christ of Nazareth! Then Jesus jumps up and says, wait a minute, Judge, now I've got something to say. May I remind you that on the cross 2,000 years ago, I washed his sins away. I was crucified, I died, they put me in a tomb. But long about the midnight hour, the power of God hit me and I walked out of that grave, alive and well with resurrection power. The devil says, it's in the book, it's written in the book, check the book. God said, okay. Then he takes the book out, lays it open, and says, now we'll see what this book has to say. He turns to the first page, the second page, the third. By the fourth, the devil seems shook. God closes it, says, the blood of Jesus must have worked, because there's absolutely nothing in this book. The devil says, now wait a minute, check that book again. All the sins are written down, they're all right there. God said, devil, maybe you're mistaken altogether. Maybe it's this other book down here. The devil cries, no, not that book, not that one. God said, devil, why are you so uptight? God sets the book down, the dust flies, and on the cover it says, the Lamb's Book of Life! Yes, my name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Didn't they do a good job? I want to just say that there was several names that weren't read off that participated in Talent Expo that didn't place. And I think it's important that we acknowledge them as well. And some of them that I was most proud of were the ones that overcame the fear of having to get up in front of people. And I don't mean to embarrass her, but I am going to bring her name up. Little Miss Ava got up there and she was a little overwhelmed. And she's probably a little overwhelmed right now because I'm talking about her in front of everybody. But Pastor Debbie stood beside her. It was just a wonderful picture of the grace of God. And Pastor Debbie just kept encouraging her, and she was kind of overcome. And then the music kept playing and said, no, you can keep singing. And all of a sudden, this beautiful voice came forth and began to worship Jesus. Isn't that life sometimes? Sometimes that's life for us, isn't it? It's like, man, we feel like we're beaten. We feel like we've lost. We feel like we're overcome. But when we just finally give up and let Jesus take over, then all of a sudden this beautiful voice of praise comes forth from us. And that's what it's all about. It's not about what we're doing. It's about what he has done. Amen? This is the start of Passion Week, or Holy Week. Some people refer it to as that. And I want to let you know that what we've done as a church is we have devotionals that are provided for you every day on our app. If you go under the blog area, they will be posted at 7 o'clock every morning. There was one posted this morning already. Or you can go on our website, find it there. Now, also know that some of you don't like electronics. That's fine. So we have some paper copies here of every day. Today is day one, and it's about the virgin birth. How many of you know that we can't talk about the death, burial, and resurrection without the virgin birth, right? And so there's these little short articles or blogs, if you want to call them that, that they're supposed to encourage you, cause you to think about what is taking place this week. How many know that we should celebrate this? Now, listen to me. I know that we should celebrate Christ's birth, death, burial, resurrection every day of our life. But this is what I've come to the conclusion to, is that while all the world is taking notice of it, you hearing me this morning? While the whole world is taking notice of this, that gives us opportunity. And as we celebrate, they see our celebration. And they go, why are they so excited about this? They're not talking about Easter eggs and the Easter bunny and all this. They are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they are wound up about this. What's the deal? How many know we should celebrate this for all the world to see? Amen? So I'm going to ask, Brother Ryan, could you come? And if you need a paper copy of this, pass it out. And as he's doing that, we're going to dismiss the kids. If you haven't taken your kids back to nursery yet, you can do that. We do have some hands over here. Just raise your hand if you need a paper copy. And Brother Ryan will make sure you get one. If we run out, we also do have some copies back, or another copy back there where we can make more copies. And I want everybody to be able to watch it. And or read it and be a part of what we're doing together as the family of God. It's important that we share in this time we celebrate. Amen? Yes. Now, just to remind you, this is the first Sunday of a new quarter. And what God has laid on my heart, we're probably going to be doing this again in some way. But if you remember, we started out the year doing three services in a row where we all just stayed together. We consecrated ourselves. And I felt like God told me that at the beginning of every quarter, do another service like that. And so the kids and teens are going to stay in with us today as we minister. And I want you to know that this is a word for you guys too. This is a very important word for you guys, and you need to get a hold of this. And I want to share what God has placed on my heart this morning for you so that you can really understand what we're celebrating today. Now, we've been walking through the six basic doctrines, and today, as I already told you, we are on the doctrine of eternal judgment. And some of you may be thinking, what does that have to do with Palm Sunday? Well, my hope and prayer is that by the time we're done ministering this, you will fully understand that it has everything to do with Palm Sunday. And I love how God worked this out, because I didn't plan this. I didn't even think about it. I just was praying about what God wanted me to preach next after we talked about the vision and really laid out the vision for our church this year. And he took me back to Hebrews 6 and said, you know, let's deal with these things. And it just so happens that the sixth doctrine that we're going to talk about is the resurrection, and it lands on Easter Sunday. Isn't it cool how God works that out? So today we're talking about eternal judgment, but next week we're going to talk about the resurrection, and it fits with the theme that God has already given me for next Sunday, which is you can't find him there. You can't find him there. So that's just a little teaser. Make sure you're here next Sunday. It's going to be good. We're going to have a good time. But you just saw before you, kind of like in a Perry Mason way, for all of my mature people who know what I'm talking about, Perry Mason. You kids will grow up one day and be mature enough to know who Perry Mason was. I said that because, did you catch the music? Da-dun, da-dun, right? But you saw this courtroom. They put it in a setting, modern day setting for us, so that we can understand and see. But you have to know that while that was cool, while that showed or depicted some cool thing, that actually the truth is this really happened. It didn't happen in the courtroom of what we see, but it happened in heaven. And Jesus Christ has taken care of judgment for us. But you have to understand that eternal judgment is real. It's real. And so this morning we're focusing on this because there are too many people nowadays that want to gloss over the fact that judgment takes place. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, well, you can't judge me? Or don't judge me, or you're being judgy. I have a daughter, Allison, she likes to throw that up. That sounds really judgy, Dad. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I don't think you even know what that means, Allison. We live in a generation that feels like people don't have a right to judge us. And while in certain circumstances that may be true, how many of you understand that God the Father has every right to judge you? Every right. He created you. He gave you life. He gave you a destiny and a purpose of this life. And if you take that life and spoil it away by doing whatever you want to do with it, and you do not fulfill the will of God for your life, he has a right to judge you for that. Jesus came in the form of mankind to the earth and was beaten brutally for you. He was nailed to a cross for you. He was whipped for you. He has a right to judge you. And here is the truth of the matter when it comes to eternal judgment. The verdict can only go one of two ways. When the metaphorical gavel is pounded, right? It's either guilty or not guilty. There's nothing in between. And so I have good news for you this morning, but before I can get to the good news that you're going to like, I have to tell you the good news that's hard. You think, well, if it's hard, why is it good news? You'll understand when I'm done. So I want you to go with me again back to Luke. Luke chapter 10, or 19, I'm sorry, verses 37 through 40. And I want you to look at this. As we read it again, I want you to really think about what's taking place here. And it says this, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now listen to this. They're praising him for what they have already seen him do. But what they don't realize is the thing that he's about to do is the greatest thing that he would ever do while he was on the face of the earth. So there is something interesting taking place here in Scripture, is that the people are blinded to the fact of what is about to happen, and they're only simply celebrating who Jesus is at that moment. But all of heaven is stirred because they know what is about to happen. And so does Jesus. Jesus knows what is about to take place. And that is why he says here then, listen, yes, they're praising me. And really, they're praising me in a way that they don't even know why they're praising me. They think it's for what I have done, but it's really for what I'm about to do. And if they would hold back their voices and hold their peace, then because of what is taking place right now is so powerful and so wonderful that even the rocks would begin to cry out and the earth would shake at the coming of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. So he comes in, and you can find this in every gospel. You can find his triumphant entry, Matthew, Mark, and this is in Luke, and I believe that there's even a portion of it in John that you can look up. And there, when you look at all four of them, you get a full picture of what takes place. And Jesus, the first time ever, really, in Scripture, and go look it up. If I miss something, then you tell me, notify me, say, Pastor, you missed this. I'm good with that because I'm not perfect. But this is the first place that I can remember where Jesus actually took the praise publicly. Any other time, people would praise him and say, listen, it's okay, thank you for that, but shh, don't tell anybody who did this for you, where you got it, keep it on the DL. Don't tell anybody anything. And of course, when he would say that, they'd go, oh, okay. And like us humans, hey, have you met Jesus? I mean, I was blind and now I can see. I couldn't walk and now I can walk. I had leprosy and I don't have leprosy anymore. And he's going, oh, man. Told him not to tell anybody. It's not my time yet. But this moment was different. This moment, the time had come. And Jesus doesn't say, okay, let's not make a fuss now. Let's sneak into the backside of the city like he had before. Come on, you Bible readers. No, he said, we're going to march right down the Mount of Olives for everyone to see. And we're going to come on down into that valley. And we're going to come up into the temple then. And everybody's going to see who I am. And this is going to make some people mad. He tried to tell his disciples that. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't listen. And you may be judgy towards them, but I'm going to tell you something. You've been there too. Because they didn't have the luxury of knowing the rest of the story like we do. So they think that Jesus is coming in as the victorious conqueror. And they think it's wonderful that he's riding on this donkey, loaned, by the way. He didn't even own it. And they begin to throw palm branches down, and they threw their clothes, their coats, and their tunics and things down as he began to come through the city. And it's interesting, I talked with Pastor Darius. He's actually preaching in Ottawa this morning. And he said that they don't call it Palm Sunday, but what they call it in Spanish and in the Cuban culture refers to basically wrapped up flowers or bouquets that they would take and they would throw. How many of you have ever seen that? We used to have what was called ticker tape parades, but they do like confetti and stuff more in America. But other countries, what do they do when they celebrate a champion? You know, their soccer champion, you know, or their champion that won an Olympic gold medal. They take and bundle up bouquets of flowers and they throw them in the streets. Now, I want you to think about this. As they're doing that, those flowers eventually get ran over and they get crushed. And what does that do? It releases a fragrance in the city that the victor, the conqueror, had come through. And I wish I had time to preach on that this morning. I just don't. I mean, there's so much stuff connected to this. So they threw flowers, they threw palm branches, they put their clothes down and they strewed it out across the street and they made an entryway for him to come into. And they thought he was coming in to be the victor to take over the Roman government to reestablish the Jewish people and the Jewish government. That's what they thought. You have to understand that. It wasn't that they were celebrating a crucifixion. If that was true, then they all would have stayed there for the crucifixion. But when the crucifixion took place, they was gone. There was only one there, John, right? They did not understand what was taking place, but Jesus understood what was taking place. And so while they thought what their mind had was some great triumph, get this, got to get a hold of this morning. What they thought was going to be so great, Jesus had something greater in store. They thought that they just wanted Jerusalem back. And from there, we can begin to conquer our land back and get our nation back, the nation of Israel, and we will rip it from the hands of the evil Romans. That's what they're thinking. And Jesus is going, well, that's setting the bar pretty low, fellas. And you're all like, what in the world? They were the world power. They controlled everything. What do you mean the bar pretty low? Because he was getting ready to do something that would last eternal. You get this? This is why this is called eternal judgment. Eternal. Not just temporary, not just a time, not just a piece of ground he was taking. He was taking the kingdom of darkness by force and bringing victory to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And as he's riding in on this, he's thinking about what he's about to do and how he's going to win this victory. And the Bible even tells us that he is the one that always causes us to triumph. You've heard me talk about this scripture before, right? Or it actually, in another translation, says he always leads us in his triumphant procession because there is an aroma that is about us that we carry the smell of heaven, which is the conqueror. That's what that scripture is really saying. You dive deep into it. So understand this. As he's coming in and he's giving the aroma of the victor, the conqueror, who's coming into. They're even seeing it, but what they're seeing is something that they think is natural. But God is getting ready to do something spiritual. And when he does something spiritual, it lasts forever. You got to get a hold of that. It lasts forever. That's why we're still talking about it in 2023. That's why we're still celebrating Palm Sunday now. It's eternal. So let me read this to you because I gotta get through this stuff. Okay, I'm doing okay on time. So the Bible says this. Acts chapter 10, verse 42. This is a command that he gave his disciples and the apostles to go and do. He says, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify or be witnesses that he is the anointed one or the Messiah or the Christ by God to do what? To be judge of the living and the dead. Now, this is how we know it's eternal. This is scripture. I just read the Bible to you. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not pulling it out of thin air so that we can have a cool topic to talk about on Palm Sunday. What I'm telling you is when Jesus came to this earth, he came in as a servant. Notice that he's riding a donkey into that. But what he's getting ready to do is an eternal work that will judge both those that are still alive and those that have died. Now get this. He had to die and go and be part of death so he could have the right to judge the dead. But he also had to come to this world and be among the living so he had a right to judge the living. Everything that he did was for a reason. And we don't get that. We don't get that. We think, well, we think in this day and age because we're just I'm just going to say it to you straight, okay? You can you handle it this morning? We're a bunch of mamby-pamby wimps. We are. Come on. I mean, we can't handle a whipping, let alone death. We don't understand it. But God was doing something so much greater than just saving a city. I mean, we say we want revival, and why do we want revival? Man, I'm going to get hard on you this morning. Holy Ghost is helping me, though. We want revival so that we can talk about our church. We want revival so that we can come and have a good time on Sunday morning. You don't believe me? Well, then why aren't you here praying every day? How many hours did you put in praying at home? Do you really want your city saved? I mean saved, like transformed, changed, rescued from going to hell. Is that what you really want? Then what are you doing about it besides talking about revival? What are we doing about it? See, Jesus did something about it. He went into the depths of sin, and they talked about him. Yeah, he's one of them gluttons that just likes to party and eat all the time. He hangs out with them publicans and sinners, and he calls himself a rabbi. They talked about him. They said, hey, you're going to let these people do this? You should shut them up. And he says, you don't understand. If I tried to shut them up, even the rocks would cry out. Because you don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm doing. You think it's just some physical thing to make you feel good, to make you feel like you're in power now. We want revival because we want to feel like we're in power. No, church. We need revival because there are people who are dead. And if they stop living and breathing today, they will go to hell. And yes, I'm getting passionate about this because I want you to get a fire in your belly to say, I don't want people to die and go to hell. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And not everybody that dies gets to go to heaven just because we say so. And I could stand and preach funeral after funeral after funeral and try to preach people into heaven, but if they have not received Jesus Christ, they won't make it. You see, Jesus was riding into that city so that he could judge the world eternally. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, he's going to be the judge of the living and the dead. There were people who had died before that, and there were people who were living right then and there. And guess what he did? He went to the cross. Now, he rode in that city knowing, listen to me, church, he rode in that city knowing that they were going to nail him to the cross and put him to death. He rode in that city knowing they were about to whip his back until it would bleed and look like hamburger. He rode into that city knowing they wouldn't pound nails into his wrists and into his feet. He rode into that city knowing he would be falsely accused and lied on. He rode into that city. Why did he do that? He did it because he loves us. And he knew that if we ever could move forward as humanity, if we could ever get past this sickness called sin, that he was going to have to be put to death so that he could eternally judge sin. Amen. You see, he rode into that city to be judge, jury, and executioner. He did. So what do you mean by that? Well, he was going to judge sin. He was going to judge sin. He was going to show the world how evil and ugly sin was. He was going to be jury because he was going to say, the verdict is guilty. You are all guilty of sin. An executioner is this. He said, I will lay down my life for you. And I will have them kill me so that sin could be put to death. You see, he eternally judged the world on that day when they nailed him to the cross. And now we're faced with a decision. We are faced with a decision. Yes, every one of us have come short of the glory of God and have sinned in our life. We're born into sin. We need a cure for sin. Jesus Christ is the only cure for sin. This is the gospel I'm preaching to you this morning. Some people don't like it nowadays because, like I said, we're a bunch of sissies. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time we start handling it, we start swallowing it, and we take it because this is the truth. If we reject Jesus Christ, we die and go to hell. When we believe in our heart that God rose him from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that is when we are rescued. Yeah. And why is that? This is why. It's not just because what we did. Are you kidding me? Well, I believed. How many of you have ever heard people say that when you're trying to share the gospel? Well, I believe. They get real defensive. Well, I believe. Like their belief did something for them. No. Jesus is the one that did it for them. You see, when we put our faith in God through what the work that Jesus did, then what happens is God sees the blood of Jesus applied to our life. And he judges us. Yes, he judges. Everybody say judges. He judges us according to the fact that he sees the blood of Jesus on our life. And because he sees the blood of Jesus on our life, then this is what he says. Well, Jesus already paid for them for their sin sickness. So therefore, they're not guilty. Amen. This is the good news part. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. You did nothing. You just looked to Christ and said, you know what? I'm going to put faith in that. And guess what? Because of that, he takes the punishment of the judgment of sin. You want to know how ugly God thinks sin is? Look at the cross. The Bible says that he was beaten so badly you couldn't even tell he was a human being anymore. They punched him in the face. They pulled out his beard. They whipped his back 39 times with this stuff that had metal and shards and rocks in it that would rip the flesh off of it. We don't like to talk about it like this, do we? We show this pretty little picture of a person hanging on the cross with this nice spun up crown of thorns that's gently placed hanging off the side. That was shoved on his head and blood was coming out of his head. Do you know how you die? On the cross, it's death by asphyxiation. That's what death on the cross is. So after he already went through all of that punishment, his body beaten to a pulp, now he's hanging there, and actually his knees, let me if I can get up here so you can see, the feet would be nailed together and everything would be shoved to one side, and he was actually probably more balled up like this than he was straight. Because what he would have to do is with those feet nailed to that tree and the hands and arms nailed to the tree, he would have to pull himself up just to be able to get the air out of his lungs. Then he would slide back down on a back that had been whipped 39 times, slide back down so he could rest his body again. He could breathe in, but he could not breathe out until he once again pushed his body up. Think about that. That's ugly. That's torturous. Now I want you to think about this. What did sin do to your life? It tortured you. It was ugly. That's the picture of sin. You can't breathe. You're suffocated. Fear will grip you, shove you down and control you. Addiction will get a hold of you, and you are no longer controlling yourself anymore. I want you to think about this. The hands were nailed to pay for anything that you may do. The feet were nailed to pay for any place you may go that you're not supposed to go. The head was pounded by fists while he was blindfolded, and a crown of thorns shoved upon the top of it to pay for your stinking thinking. For the places that you see with your eyes that you shouldn't be seeing those things, sinful things. He paid for it. His body was beaten and whipped so that you could have health in your body. He paid the price for sickness and disease with his own body. And then, when it was all said and done, they took a spear and they shoved it through his side. And clipped the outer sac of the heart where blood and water came forth. That way he wasn't leaving any part out. Every piece of the outer man and every piece of the inner man was taken care of at the cross. You see, Jesus Christ paid for your judgment for eternity. And he came in, his triumphal entry, not so that he could merely win a city. Get a hold of this. Not just so he could just a measly city called Jerusalem. No. He came in his triumphal entry and he judged the world of sin and death so that he could save the entire world. And not only the known world then, but every person that would ever be born into this world, that would breathe breath into their lungs, he paid the price for the entire world of every generation. He brought everything under subjection to his authority. And the one who knew no sin at all, the one who never sinned, and the one that had never done anything wrong, the one that had never messed up, the one that had never looked where they shouldn't have looked, done what they shouldn't have done, said what they shouldn't have said, thought what they shouldn't have thought, walked where they shouldn't have walked. He never did anything wrong. He did everything right. And he took that punishment for you and I who have all did everything wrong. See, this is the good news. That Jesus gets to judge the living and the dead. And when we come to him and accept his sacrifice, then we're covered by his blood. We receive his body, we receive his blood, and now by the Spirit of God, we are transformed into a brand new person. And we are now buried with Jesus Christ in the grave. That all of those sinful works, that dead works and that sin that was in our life, they are now put to death. And then because 3 days later, he came back to life. Hallelujah. We're going to preach about that next Sunday. He raises us up to life with him to live a new life. A new life. And this is what's great about it. All he wants you to do is to take him by the hand and just begin to walk with him. That's it. I'm just going to take Jesus by the hand in my mind, right? Not literally, he's not here. But I'm just going to start walking with Jesus. And guess what? I might stumble and fall. I might scrape my knee. I may mess up, but he's right there. So I reach up, I grab a hold of him again, I pick myself back up, and I keep walking with Jesus. Yeah. And you know what God the Father, the judge, says then? You saw it displayed to you this morning. You see, the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, he wants to start giving you a list of everything that you've done wrong. Everything. This is what I like to do. When he starts giving account of everything that I've done wrong, I look at my hand. And I'll go, yeah, there's blood on these hands. I'm guilty. But guess what? There's also blood on somebody else's hands. He's my Savior, Jesus. And when he shows those hands to God the Father says, I don't see anything but the blood of Jesus. That's freeing, church. That's freeing. It's like the line in the song, well, the blood of Jesus must have worked, because there's absolutely nothing in this book. It wipes away everything. And then we are judged. Look, this is the part I think we miss sometimes. We're still judged. Did you know that? It's not that we're not judged. We think that, oh, because Jesus showed up, then I don't have to go to court. No, you still got to go to court. You got to show up. And guess what? Everybody will show up someday. Because every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But when I show up, my defense attorney shows up with me. Hallelujah. And he says this. He says, no, you don't understand. They may be accusing this person of all of that, but that person was put to death in me. And they were raised to a new life. Matter of fact, I've given them a new name. Hallelujah. They don't even have the old name anymore. So the person you're talking about, you can't prosecute anymore because they are dead. And this person is now alive. Hallelujah. They've received my life's blood. And my life cries out for them and says, no, they get to live. The sad truth of that is this. While that is some of the greatest, it is the greatest news you'll ever hear. There are people that will still reject that. And it's the people who reject that, that they want to stand before God themselves, are going to have to give account for all of their sin. They're going to have to. Because they choose to not accept Jesus Christ in the payment that he made. Now, let me tell you something. If you had someone show up today, and if you have a mortgage on your home, and they just decided, you know what? I'm just going to write that check. I'm going to take care of that mortgage for you. Would you be like, ha, no thanks? I'm pretty sure most of you would be like, hey, is that real? That ain't going to bounce, is it? Right? That's just a mortgage for a house you live in that, guess what? Someday, if it doesn't burn to the ground, it'll fall apart, it'll rot. Won't last. Somebody's going to knock a hole in the wall and Randy's going to have to come patch it. He does drywall. Or Tom, you do drywall. You'll have to paint it. Right? It falls apart. And we would be so excited that someone paid our house off. Church, do you realize Jesus paid the price for eternity for you so that you could live forever and not die forever? You see, this life goes on after we stop breathing air here. And we have the choice of whether or not we will live forever or we will die forever. God has given us that choice. Eternal judgment has already taken place in the sense that sin has been judged. That's good news, church. That's really good news. Sin has already been judged. Now, we can walk around in sin and continue in those ways and feel like the whole world is judging us. This is a message for today. We can do that. You feel like everybody's judging us. Everybody hates us. Well, guess what? You feel that way because you're still living under the condemnation of sin. Or you can come to Jesus Christ. You can be set free from that condemnation and be given life in the Spirit. And then every time something or someone tries to accuse you, you just tell them, that's not me. Oh, 20 years ago, yes, it was too. It's like, yeah, but that wasn't me. Hallelujah. That person died. Matter of fact, I even buried him in a watery grave when I got baptized. Hallelujah. So the Bible says this. Let me read this to you because I got to get to this end part. I charge you in the presence of God. This is Paul telling Timothy this. And of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now get this. Not only is he the judge of the living and the dead, but he's the judge because he has appeared and because he has brought forth his kingdom. Now, remember, of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's twofold, church. The kingdom of Israel came to an end. And then it would be Assyria and Syria and all these other kingdoms, right? Just like the kingdom of the United States of America. We don't call it that, but it comes to an end. There's only so much property that the United States of America owns. Do you realize that he is king over everything? Therefore, of his kingdom, there is no end. Why? Because his kingdom is not based upon property or land mass. His kingdom is based upon the hearts of people who surrender themselves to him. And that's why it's of every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. That's why I wore this morning, because I love this shirt right here, because it represents so many different nations. You see, this is called a Chinese collar. So we have China represented. These are called French cuffs. So we have France represented. The design, the pattern is Kenyan. It's of Africa. It's Kenyan. So it represents Kenya. But then the cut of it is more of a South African design. So that's another nation in Africa. And there's this crazy bald-headed hillbilly that's wearing it. We have all of these things in one. But yet we're all underneath one kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. Of his kingdom, there is no end. So at the appearing of him and at the appearing of his kingdom, he is the judge. Now, this is what you have to understand. Because he already appeared the first time, because he came the first time, his triumphal entry came in not to take Jerusalem, but to take sin and put sin to death. Guess what? He's judged that already. But I got good news for you. Even though that is so great and it lets us know that we get to live eternally, the story is not over yet. Did you get this? The story's not over yet. Because the Bible says he was coming the first time, but there's also a second coming of him. And if he came the first time and he did everything he said he would do the first time, guess what? He's going to come back again and he's going to do everything he said he would do the second time. So remember, I read to you that he was coming down the Mount of Olives into the Valley of Rephaim, I believe it's what it's called there. Maybe not. Can't remember what valley that is now. It's escaped my mind. But he's coming down the Mount of Olives and he's coming in. And that's on the eastern side of the city, the eastern gate. There's so much stuff, symbolism and pictures that go into that. But as he's coming down there, he's coming into the city. Now listen, the Bible tells us, I believe it's the prophet of Zechariah tells us this, that when he returns, he will return in like manner as he came. No, it's Matthew that says this is what it is. And he says that he will actually come back down to the Mount of Olives. That's why you got to get this picture, okay? So he's returning back to the Mount of Olives. And I believe it's in Zechariah that it says that he will actually split the mountain. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up, right? We sang it this morning. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the King in all his glory, is going to return on the very mountain he ascended and the very mountain that he rode into Jerusalem for his triumphal entry of conquering sin. He's also going to come back to this world and now conquer and rule and reign right here. So let me give you some scripture. I'm trying to wrap this up, but I could just preach on this stuff all day. It's so good. It says this, then I saw heaven opened, hallelujah, and behold a white horse. The one sitting on it called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Eternal judgment. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And his head are many diadems. That means there are many crowns on his head that are full of jewels. And his name was a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What am I saying to you? I'm saying it doesn't matter what kind of government we live under. It doesn't matter what nation we're from. There's one coming that wears every crown with every jewel. He's got all the diadems on his head, and on his thigh is written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may be a king, but you have a king ruling you. You may be a lord, but you have a lord ruling you. His name is the Word. His name is righteousness. His name is holiness. His name is Jesus. Whew. Can you tell I'm excited? You see how important Palm Sunday is? Not only is it the celebration of the triumphal entry of Jesus coming in and conquering sin, it's also a reminder. Oh, man. I can see it, Sister Betty, my mind's eye. It's a reminder that the very trail he blazed the first time, he's coming back to again. And listen, they're going to think that they have it all won. They're going to think that they have all them people locked up in Jerusalem, and they're going to kill them all. They're going to scatter them all. They think that they have it conquered. And right at the last minute, as everybody's going to think, really what it is God's going to show up right on time. He's going to come down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to split that mountain in two, is what the Bible says. And he's going to make a way where there was no way, so that everyone can escape the city. And he's going to come and judge the wicked. And he's going to take control over the nations. And he's going to rule. And he's going to reign. And the key is this. Does he do that right now in your heart?
Yes. Yes.
Has he showed up in the mountain of pride? The mountain of arrogance in your life? The mountain of you being led by your flesh, your feelings, the lust of your eyes and the lust of your flesh? Has he showed up on that mountain? Has he split it in two? Has he made a way in your life where there was no way? Has he become Lord of your life? I love it. I got a friend from Kenya. I'm trying to close, but I got to tell this story. I got a friend from Kenya. His name is Boniface. He's a Maasai warrior. You know what that means? That means that he had to actually literally go out and kill a lion with his bare hands. He took a big old stick that looks like a toothpick. He shoved it in the mouth of the lion. When the lion bit down on it, he speared him and killed him. He became a Maasai warrior. But something greater happened to Boniface. Greater than that, greater than him being inaugurated as a Maasai warrior to protect the Maasai tribe. And they're a very proud people. If you've ever met Maasai, you'll know they're very proud people. They're so traditional that they're still traditional to this day. They follow their traditions to this day. And they live in very rural, remote areas with no modern things because they're so traditional. Very proud people. But you see, one day, Boniface met Jesus. And Jesus transformed him and saved his life. And he said, your purpose in life, Boniface, is to go and share this message I have given you with the world. Boniface has traveled the world. He's even been to Ohio, to the United States of America, in Ohio, and preached. Now, we've never had the ability to have him in here, but he's preached in churches I know of in Ohio. He's preached in them. And he went to this big conference. I love this story. He went to this big conference, and he's wearing all of his garb, his Maasai stuff that he's got from his tribe. And you had to have the proper documentation to get into the conference, to the place that he was wanting to go. And he just walked up, got in line with no documents. And he walked up and they stopped him and said, "Sir, who are you?" He said, "I'm the son of the king." That's all he told him. "I'm the son of the king." And they went, "Oh, okay, you can go." They didn't vet him. They didn't ask him for identification. "I'm the son of the king." Guess what? He got to go in. I think they even had him get up and speak a little bit at this conference that he invited himself to. I said, "Boniface, what are you doing, man?" He goes, "Listen, I am the son of the king. And God told me to go there, so I went there. They asked me who I was. I told them who I am. I am the son of the king. Guess what? They let me in." It's that simple, church. It's that simple. We are the sons and the daughters of the king. We allow too much stuff to stop us and hinder us. Now, I know that we live in a realistic world, okay? You can't be going around and claiming that, "Well, God told me I'm going to go up to the car dealership and God said, that's my car. I'm the son of the king. Give me the keys." No, it don't work that way, right? Not unless you get a real good word from God. But there are things in this life that we have to take authority over. And what I'm preaching to you this morning, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ has already stepped in and taken the authority. He already did it. Especially over the worst disease ever. It's a cancer called sin. We are set free from that if we simply receive Jesus Christ. That's all we got to do. It's by faith. He did the work. We didn't. Last week we talked about repentance from dead works and faith in God. When we do those things, we receive this thing called eternal life. And guess what? I just got a sneaky suspicion. Some of you read the title, saw the title, heard the title of my message this morning, and you thought, "Man, where's Pastor going this morning? Eternal judgment? Wow." Because it has such a negative connotation with us, doesn't it? But it shouldn't. It shouldn't. I'm judged eternally. Hallelujah. I get excited when I think about being judged eternally. Why is that? Because I know I've been given eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not die, but they would live eternally. Because God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be rescued from that very condemnation. Now here's what we have to understand. The next verse talks about this. It says, but listen, if you reject Jesus, you're already condemned. Because guess what? As soon as the law entered in, condemnation came. Judgment came for sin. The payment for sin is death. But Jesus Christ gave his life and died, paying that payment so that we could have everlasting life. Stand to your feet this morning if you would. I've been trying to stop, but I could keep going because this stuff is just so good. It's connected to the whole Bible. Do you realize that? Palm Sunday is connected to the whole Bible. Why? Because the whole Bible is about Jesus, and Palm Sunday is about Jesus. So this is what I want you to do. I want all of us to get saved this morning. How many of you like getting saved? I like getting rescued. And some of you may say, well, you're just getting people to repeat a prayer after you. That didn't mean anything. Let me tell you something. Sister Betty did that one time with me in a vacation Bible school, and I'm going to tell you what, I got saved. Something happened in my life that day. Something changed that day. I've never forgot that day. I don't know what day it was or when it was, but I know what happened that morning. I know right where I was in that building right in there. So don't tell me that, well, prayers of repentance in groups don't work. It worked for me. So that's why I'll do it. I'll become anything to get at least one saved, right? What Paul said. So let's just pray this prayer together. Say, well, I've been saved for 40 years. Well, maybe you need to get saved again this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's all get saved on Palm Sunday. Let's all celebrate that our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, rode into our life today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And you see these people. Now, God, we're about ready to pray a prayer together. And I ask you right now that you will stir faith in their hearts, that they won't just repeat this prayer, but they will pray it in faith in you. And they will mean it. And they will receive eternal life, God. I thank you for that right now, because I thank you that you hear our prayers and you answer them. And this prayer is no different. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to pray with me. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I make you Lord of my life. And I promise to serve you. I promise to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Give him praise right now. God, we just love you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for rescuing us, Lord. I thank you for setting us free from our sin. I thank you for giving us a newness in our heart and our life and our mind, Lord. I thank you that you paid for everything at the cross, Lord, and we have been set free. Hallelujah, we give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor. This day is a day of celebration, God. We give before you, we celebrate you and your work that you've done, Jesus. And I thank you for celebrating the work that you did in people's hearts and minds today, Lord. Now I pray, God, you would keep them, you would cover them, you would watch over them. God, you would help us to grow in you, to continue to follow after you, so because our job is not done now, it's only begun. We've been rescued and we've been given a mission to share this message with the world. God, I pray that you would help us to do that. We pray blessing upon everyone here. We thank you that the God of peace is crushing Satan underneath of their feet. We thank you for the peace of God in their life, and we thank you that they are at peace with you now because they've prayed this prayer. God, I pray that you will be with us this week as we celebrate your Passion Week. It was your passion to go and do this for us. And you said, for the joy set before you, you endured the shame of the cross. And then you rose again from the grave and have given us power and life. Help us to remember these things throughout this week. God, bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. May we live in your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget to pick up your kids in nursery. Also, don't forget the challenge to pick a day this week and fast as we celebrate Passion Week.